Sefer Tehillim. This is Shir number 57. May the learning of Torah be a merit for myself, yourself, for listening to this tape or CD, or for listening to this as well as any of our other hundreds of Torah Shiurim, Torah lectures online at EnglishTorahTapes.com. May the learning of Torah be also a merit for the memory of Aaron Fuchs and Shimon and Hinda Manila of blessed memory. The entire Tehillim project of 75 CDs has been sponsored by the Chevra Kadisha Mortuary in Los Angeles. We are holding in chapter 104, Pasuk 25. Zehayom Godol Urchav Yadayim Shom Remes Ein Mispor Chayos Ketanos Im Gedolos. This sea so great and of wide measure, there are creeping things without number, both small and great living creatures. Having noted all the multiplicity of Hashem's works on earth, the singer mentions the multitudes of God's works in the sea. This sea, so great and of wide measure, is far larger than the earth in length and breadth. The literal meaning of Rechav Yadayim is wide hands, a measure of area. It may refer to the span between a man's right hand and his left hand. In the sea, there are creeping things without number, more so than on land, both small and great living creatures. In the sea, the large and the small creatures move together. The small creatures do not flee from the large ones as they do on land, and the reason is that there are so many of them. The singer here speaks of the creatures created on the fifth day, namely the fish. They dwell in the sea that is so great and of wide measure. They are without number because they reproduce more abundantly than land creatures. Another reason is that they reproduce at all times of the year. The Torah stresses the immense numbers of fish, notwithstanding that the large fish swallow the smaller ones. Their numbers do not diminish because of their rapid reproduction. There are creeping things without number. Pasuk Chof Vav, Pasuk 26. Sham onios yahalechun leviosan ze yurtzarto lesachek bo. There go the ships. There is a leviosan whom ye have formed to play in with. The singer continues by depicting two wonders of the sea. One is manufactured, that is, man-made ships. They traverse the seas by means of the blowing wind. There's also the leviosan, the giant fish whom you have formed to play in it. The leviosan cavorts happily in the sea, where it finds everything it needs. Having said, how many are your works, O Hashem, on land? The singer depicts the previous pasuk that we learned, the sea, as the greater wonder. Its expanse is greater than the expanse of dry land, enveloping the earth. It has creeping things without number, both small and great living creatures. And there is the Leviathan. The immense size and splendor of the Leviathan is such that it is likened to a creature worthy of being a plaything of kings to play with it. It is customary for kings to have available various kinds of exotic animals as playthings and walking companions. In the sea there is no place for land animals, yet you have granted man the sagacity to traverse the sea in ships and to net fish for food. Thus Hashem blessed Adam and have dominion over the fish of the sea, as found in Chumash Bereishis. Man subdues the sea in ships, as it says, you have given him dominion, whatever passes through the paths of the seas. To play in it, the splendor and the grandeur of the Leviathan is described in the book of Iyov. It plays in the sea where all things are its food. It is not itself any other creature's food. Similarly, Pasuk says in Habakkuk, and they will scoff at kings, and princesses will be a scorn to them. The Torah mentions here all the creatures created on the sixth day. Man was already mentioned earlier. And the Misora Concordance, it is indicated that one who journeys by sea or traverses mountains must keep busy studying Torah. Thus the Misora lists three instances of Yalechon, go or walk. There is the present Pasuk, there go the ships, they walk, O Hashem, in the light of your countenance. And there in the Pasuk, happy are they who are upright in the way, who walk in the law of Hashem. It's a Pasuk that's found later on in Sefer Tehillim. Now we're at Pasuk 27. We're holding again at chapter 104, Pasuk 27. Kulo melecha yisar beirun loseis ochlam be'ito. They all look to you to give them their food in its time. Now the singer refers back to the creatures mentioned when speaking about man, both land animals and sea creatures. They all look to you to give them their food in its time. This means that every kind of food becomes available at its proper time, or else it means that different kinds of creatures eat and digest their food at characteristic times. Thus birds must eat all the time, for their power of digestion is very strong. A dog, on the other hand, retains his food in the stomach quite a long time. All creatures, those on land and those in the sea, look to you to give them their food in its time. Their eyes are raised to heaven, as it says later on in Tehillim, who gives food to all flesh, for his loving kindness endures forever. Although devoid of the kind of understanding to know their benefactor, instinctively they partake of their food according to need. We know that they all look to you, for you are the one who prepares and provides. This pasuk may be clarified further. If we recall the story of what happened when Rabban Gamliel once stood pouring water, said Rabbi Yehuda, we find that a great man, our forefather of Rome, also stood pouring water. Rav Tzadik retorted, how long yet will you go on ignoring the glory of Hashem? The Holy One makes the winds blow, elevates the clouds, brings down the rain, he makes the earth grow produce, and he prepares a table for each and every one. In other words, Hashem forgoes his own honor, and we are instructed to emulate him. That is what the singer says here. They all look to you to give them their food in its time. You give to them, and they gather it. You open your hand, they are sated with good. As we're going to learn in the next pasuk. As a result of this, may the glory of Hashem endure forever. Let the Hashem rejoice in his works. The Creator set aside his glory in order for his works not to be abolished. Pasuk Chav Ches, Pasuk 28. Titein lahem yilkotun tiftach yadcho yisru untov. You give to them, they gather it, you open your hand, they are sated with good. When there's a drought, you give to them a bit of food in such a way that they must gather it little by little. But then, when you open your hand and the rains come down in abundance, they are sated with good. This expression, they are sated with good, is usually associated with abundant rain, as it says, and will not see when good comes, but will inhabit the parched places, a pasuk that's found in Sefer Yirmiyahu. The resultant good means an abundance of wheat and forage. The fish of the sea also grow fat as a result of the rain. And the river plants grow tall when there's much rain, for the rivers overflow and drench the foliage. Although they all look to you to give them their food, they are not all equal. Some have to expend much effort to sustain themselves. Although you give to them, they have to gather it little by little. Others earn their livelihood without pain and effort, for you open your hand, they are sated with good. A subtle interpretation says, it is indicated that the creatures want to receive their food through their own efforts, to gather it by hand or by foot, rather than to receive it from man. As the dove said to Noah, may my food be bitter as the olive, but from the hand of Hashem, rather than sweet as honey from the hand of man. That is what the singer says here. You give to them, they gather it. They prefer to gather bit by bit, and they ask that you open your hand, so that they are sated with good. anything coming from the hand of God is good. It is satisfying sustenance. Pasuk Chavtes, Pasuk 29. Tastir panecho yubohelum, tosef rucham yigvoum, ve'elaforum yishuvim. You hide your face, they are troubled. You withdraw their breath, they perish and return to their dust. The singer depicts the pattern of renewal for living creatures on earth. Some spring forth and others decay like wilting grass of the field. You withdraw their breath, they perish and return to their dust. Not a single one of them eludes death. This explains why death afflicts all creatures in the world. Since others come after them, this is an indication that creation has a purpose. If you hide your face and do not provide their sustenance, they are troubled, for they have no way to be helped. If you withdraw their breath, they perish, as it says similarly, if he gather to himself his spirit and his breath, all flesh will perish together. A pasuk that's found in Iyov. The Yalkut says, you hide your face, they are troubled. These are the wicked. But regarding the righteous, it says, you send forth your spirit, they are created. That is to say that Tzaddik is not troubled or dismayed when affliction strikes him, for he knows that Hashem can bring forth deliverance out of the evil itself. It is otherwise for the wicked. Pasuk 30. Tishalach ruchacho yiboreyun uschadesh pnei adama. You send forth your spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the earth. Having said that they perish when Hashem hides his face from them, the Torah says here, you send forth your spirit, they are created. New creatures are born, and through these new creatures you renew the face of the earth, for they have never walked on this earth before. Another reading says, the Torah says, when you hide your face and do not provide for their needs, when you withdraw their spirit, that is, you do not provide them with a spirit of life, they perish and return to the earth, but they do not perish for eternity. For you send forth your spirit, they are created anew, and you renew the face of the earth for them. The Torah alludes here to the resurrection of the dead, which will take place as a supernatural and wondrous phenomenon, rather than as a natural occurrence. Thus it says, you send forth your spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the earth. This refers solely to man, who is the principal living being among the creatures below. Hashem will then recreate man in a different way to render him immortal. Therefore Hashem will rejoice in his works. Pasuk 31, Hei Chavoyed Hashem L'Olam Yismach Hashem B'Masot. May the glory of Hashem endure forever. Let Hashem rejoice in his works. Having described the fullness of the earth and all the creatures it harbors, the singer prays for this condition to last. May the glory of Hashem, all of creation, endure forever. For man, every living thing, trees and plants, all attest to Hashem's kingship. The singer prays that no part of the world should perish in the kind of upheaval that destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah when God in his fury acted to destroy them. On the contrary, let Hashem rejoice in his works, that they bear witness to his wisdom. As the pasuk says in Yeshayahu, the work of my hands, that I may be glorified. Having now completed the description of all the works of creation, the singer declares that everything depends on the will of Hashem. If that is his will, Hashem will rejoice in his works, unlike what happened before, when Hashem was grieved in his heart about the flood generation, the bubble generation, and about Sodom and Gomorrah, who corrupted their deeds. Then Hashem did not rejoice in his works. Hashem will rejoice in his works when the Mashiach comes. This is hinted at in the letters of Yismach, which are also the letters of Mashiach. Some explain that this pasuk is both a request and a blessing. May the glory of Hashem endure forever, and may it be his will for his glory and the beneficence of his design and creation to become revealed. He should grant the human species the image of Hashem and his likeness. Man should thus be the choicest of all the creatures and live forever. He should resemble his maker in his capacity for thought and in his freedom of action. May Hashem rejoice in his works. Let there be a revelation of the inner joy from on high downward at the fact that men acted in accordance with the will of Hashem. This is opposite to what the Torah says about the flood generation, that Hashem was grieved in his heart because the wickedness of man was great upon the earth. Pasuk 32. Hamabid lo'oretz v'tirad yiga be'horim v'ye'ashonu. He looks on the earth and it trembles. He touches the mountains and they smoke. The singer explains that he pleaded for the world to endure eternally because there are occasions of divine judgment. On those occasions, he looks on the earth in his furious anger and it trembles. He touches the mountains and they smoke. At those times, the mountains melt like wax before the fire and go up in smoke. Living creatures perish and plants wail in mourning. He looks on the earth. Hashem does not want to perform any action to make the earth tremble. He wants to make it tremble solely by his look. Likewise, he wants but to touch the mountains lightly to make them smoke, as when something is incinerated and smoke is emitted. Possibly this refers to volcanically active mountains that explode as if by divine command. Indeed, when the earth quakes and explodes, this is also a manifestation of Hashem's power in creation. For in an earthquake, every valley will be raised, like the Pasuk says in Yeshayahu, and every mountain and hill will be made low. New regions and large islands appear in the middle of the sea, and also rivers dry up. This is a sign of divine providence whereby he transforms the contour of the earth in accordance with his will. Figuratively, the singer is talking about the destruction of the wicked. It is as if the earth trembled, or the mountains were incinerated by fire before Hashem's furious wrath. Similarly, the Torah says figuratively, "For a fire is kindled in my anger and set on fire the foundations of the mountains." A pasuk that's found in the Chumash Devarim. Pasuk 33. Or shira la Hashem b'chayoy, azamra l'elokai b'odi. I will sing to Hashem as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. The singer opened the present psalm by addressing his soul. Bless Hashem, O my soul. Here he says, I will sing to Hashem as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. Now I will sing and praise with my mouth and my lips, but after death only the soul acclaims Hashem. I will do more. So long as I am both body and soul, I will play instruments, a zamra. Another reading says, I will sing to Hashem for my life, b'chayah, for he keeps me alive. I will sing praise to my God for what is more for me, be'oli, that is for the extra good that he bestows upon me. Some say, I will sing praise to my God for what is more within me. I will sing with the best in me. Every Jew has within him an ingredient of goodness that is good under all circumstances. I will sing to Hashem while I still live. All things were created for the purpose of the living creatures and man. But man has an advantage over other creatures on account of the pure soul with which he has been imbued. Therefore I will sing praise to my God for what is more, for that which is extra within me as a human being, because I understand more and I am more intelligent than all other living things. I will rejoice in Hashem, as we'll learn in the next pasuk. I will sing to Hashem as long as I live. Thus our sages have taught in Eicha, why then does a living man complain? It is enough that a man lives. Enough is the life that he has granted me. I will sing praise to my God while yet I am, the Oli, standing up and not ill, not lying prostrate upon the bed of illness. Corresponding to the present, I will sing to Hashem by my life. The singer says similarly, I will acclaim Hashem by my life. There are many forms of acclaim among men. Each person chooses some particular thing whereby to acclaim himself. Some glory in wealth, others in fame. But I will acclaim Hashem by my life. My life consists solely in this, that I acclaim Hashem. I will sing praises to my God in more, Ba'oli. This is the only thing that I desire more and more, to sing praises to Hashem. I have no other desires, for man dies without even half his material desires fulfilled. Pasuk 34. Yerav olav sichi anochi esmach b'Hashem. Let my entreaty be sweet to him, as for me, I will rejoice in Hashem. The singer pleads, let my entreaty be sweet to Hashem, and then I will rejoice in Hashem. The essence of serving Hashem is with joy, not in sadness and worry. As it says, serve Hashem with gladness, come before his presence with joyful song. Let my entreaty be sweet to him, even as for me, I rejoice in Hashem with my song. My song is not on account of the good as such, but in Hashem. I sing for the good that Hashem bestows upon me. I have a sign that my entreaty is sweet to him, for I rejoice in Hashem. Gladness enters my heart for all these things, even as one performs a mitzvah, gladness enters his heart. As it is written, the mandates of Hashem are just, rejoicing the heart. It is otherwise for those who commit a transgression. Pasuk 35. Hallelujah. Let the sinners cease from the earth, and let the wicked be no more. Bless Hashem, O my soul. Hallelujah. Praise Hashem. Let the sinners who refuse to sing praises to Hashem cease from the earth. Let them perish, and let the wicked be no more, for they keep people from acclaiming the name of Hashem. The singer concludes as he began the present psalm. Bless Hashem, O my soul. Praise Hashem, just as I have praised Hashem, do you also praise him. Hallelujah. After the sinners will cease from the earth in the time of the Mashiach, no others will come in their place. Hence the singer says, let there be no more. The sages expound, David chanted 103 chants, but he did not chant a single song of praise. Hallelujah. Praise Hashem until he foresaw the downfall of the wicked. Then he said, Hallelujah, which is the greatest of all chants, for it includes both song and praise. The present psalm is recited on Rosh Chodesh, the new moon, to indicate that Hashem made the moon in order for us to establish the appointed festivals. The waxing and the waning of the moon is not for the purpose of affecting human beings, contrary to the view of the astrologers. The Talmud relates that Meir had a violent neighbors who disturbed him, and he prayed for their deaths. His wife Beruya said to him, what are you thinking? You pray for their deaths because it says, let sinners chatoim cease from the earth? Does it then say chatoim sinners? It says chatoim, sins. The sins should cease from the earth, then the wicked will be no more. When this happens at that time, bless Hashem, O my soul. But Rabbi Meir held that chatoi means sinners, as it says, a brood of sinful men, as found in Chumash Bamidbar. Beruya held that because it does not say choitim, the Torah intended that we pray for the sins to be eradicated. The Masorah Concordance has a pause mark between chatoim and min ha'oretz to signify that the emphasis be on sins rather than sinners. Sins should cease from the earth. Chapter 105, Pasuk 1. Hodu la'Hashem kiru v'shmo hodiu v'amim ali lo sov. Give thanks to Hashem, call upon his name, make known his works among the nations. David composed the present psalm for the occasion when he joyously brought up the Ark of the Law from the house of Obed to the city of David. On that occasion, David was dancing and leaping before Hashem with all his might, and the people of Israel all played upon the trumpets and cymbals, the harps and lyres. In this psalm, he also described what transpired with the people of Israel, from the time they came into Mitzrayim to the time they entered the Holy Land. Our sages said that the present psalm was always recited before the ark in the morning, while the psalm sing to the Lord, a previous psalm was recited in the evening. This practice continued until the time the Oren was brought into the eternal house the sanctuary built by Shlomo HaMelech. The psalm begins by declaring, "Give thanks to Hashem, call upon His name." David addresses all of Israel, enjoining them to give thanks for all the wonders that He performed for them. Call upon His name, which is a form of prayer. As it says, "I have called with my whole heart. Answer me, O Hashem." It's a pasuk that's found later on in Tehillim. Alternatively, it is a call to make known His name, as it says, "And called there on the name of Hashem, the everlasting God." It is likewise explained in Divrei HaYomim that when David brought up the Oren, the ark from the house of Obed Edom to Yishlaim, he handed this psalm to Asaph and his brothers for chanting before the Oren. The present psalm ends, "Then he gave them the lands of the nations, and they took possession of the labor of the peoples, that they might keep his statutes and observe his teachings." This is found in our chapter much later. This expresses the theme of the entire psalm, to make it known that when the people of Israel concentrate on fulfilling this purpose, they are individually under the supervision of divine providence. In the foregoing psalm, the singer spoke of man as the core of creation, and the core of mankind are those who serve Hashem. Accordingly, he says here, "Let man sing to Hashem so long as he lives. Let him not say that because he was born without his consent, he need not sing. Rather, give thanks to Hashem for having made you call upon his name. Make known his works among the nations. Acclaim his natural creations as well as his miraculous works, to give renown to his lofty attributes. Make this known among the nations, since many among them deny his existence. As the pasuk says in Yirmiyahu, they have belied Hashem and said, 'It is not he.' Others deny divine providence, saying, 'Hashem has forsaken the land.'" A pasuk that's found in Sefer Yecheskel. The singer enjoins adherents of the Torah to make known the glory of Hashem's name, to exhibit his greatness and goodness in the midst of Israel, and as much as possible to make known his works among the nations. His people will then always find deliverance from their persecutors, pasuk that's found in Sefer Nehemiah. Give thanks to Hashem for the good that he has done. Call upon his name by exalting his greatness and his acts in the midst of Israel. Make known his works among the nations. Another interpretation says, make known his works among the nations. Those acts that conform to the pattern of nature will relate about all his wondrous deeds. This pasuk is found in the next pasuk. Those acts that suppress the natural and whereby he guides the people of Israel. The psalm mentions 12 kinds of acclaim for Hashem, corresponding to the 12 sons of Yaakov, whom he has chosen. They are: give thanks to Hashem, call upon his name, make known his works among the nations, sing to him, sing praises to him, relate about all his wondrous deeds. Glory is his holy name. Be of glad heart, you who seek Hashem in his strength. Seek his face always. Remember his wondrous deeds that he has done. Remember his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. The psalm begins with give thanks to Hashem. It is proper for a human being to acknowledge his master, for none of the good things come to him by chance. Thus it says in Chumash Devarim, when you have eaten and are sated, then you will bless Hashem your God for the good land which he has given you. Call upon his name. It is proper for a person in trouble to pray to Hashem for deliverance from his affliction. Make known his works among the nations. It is proper for a man to tell publicly how he was saved by divine intervention. As it says, let him give thanks to Hashem for his loving kindness and for his wondrous works to the children of men. Pasuk base, pasuk 2. Shir loy zamr loy sichu b'chol neflosav. Sing to him, sing praises to him, relate about all his wondrous deeds. sing to him and so bring forth the joyousness that leads to higher understanding. So also play to him on musical instruments and relate about all his wondrous deeds. To attain higher understanding, it is necessary to have knowledge of the wondrous deeds of Hashem, including the works of creation and the works of the chariot, the knowledge of this world, and the knowledge of the supernal realms. Another interpretation says, relate about all his wondrous deeds. When you come to speak about the wondrous deeds of Hashem, do not merely chant songs and play musical instruments. Rather, speak of all the good things that have befallen you, and speak about the wondrous deeds that Hashem performed for our people. When you sing, sing to him. When you play, play to him. Your songs and melodies should only be to the glory of Hashem. When you relate, your narrative should be only about all his wondrous deeds. A different emphasis says, all your talk should be about this matter of his wondrous deeds. Thus the Torah established special mitzvahs whereby to remember the wondrous deeds of Hashem, such as the Yom Tovim, the holidays. We should recall that all was done for the Jewish people in the days of old and in former years, as the pasuk brings down in Sefer Malachi. Please turn tape over to side B. And for those listening to this on a CD, please be patient a few moments. Chapter 105, Pasuk 3. His Hallelu B'Shem Kotcho Yismach Leib Mevakshi Hashem. Glory in His holy name, be of glad heart, you who seek Hashem. Glory in His holy name, be proud of the kingship of Hashem, who reigns over you. Then will those who seek Hashem also be of glad heart. When one who serves Hashem glories in Hashem, others will be glad to serve Hashem and to hasten towards him joyously. Our sages teach, when the people of Israel recount the praises of Hashem, ministering angels hear of it and are pleased. They acclaim the Holy One that He has such a chosen people. Whenever anyone mentions God's wondrous deeds, He performs miracles for him, as it says, for the conductor of the Psalm of David for remembrance. That is what the singer says here. When you sing to Him, play to Him. When you thus glory in His holy name, you cause the ministering angels to come in praise of you. Be of glad heart, you who seek Hashem. This is the way of flesh and blood. If one endeavors to marry into a family of high standing and is unsuccessful, he is not called a kin to that family. It is otherwise for those who seek Hashem. The Torah attests here that when one fails to keep a mitzvah, but through no fault of his own, it is as if he did keep it. Thus it says, be glad of heart, you who seek Hashem. They merit to be joyous, even those among them who do not actually succeed in their quest. Anyone who seeks will ultimately find the object of his quest, but one who seeks Hashem will also be joyous during his quest, as it says in Tehillim, in the next pasuk, seek Hashem and His strength. Seek His face always. In the seeking itself, you will find gladness and joy, since Hashem Himself can never be grasped. There's only the perpetual seeking. This itself is the goal. One who continuously seeks Hashem feels that he's still lacking in spiritual completeness. He therefore continues to plead for Hashem to cleanse his heart, thus to enable him to serve wholeheartedly. As a result, he is forever glad and joyous. That is what the singer goes on to say. Seek Hashem and His strength. Seek His face always. Glory is His holy name. Despite all our acclaim and praise of the blessed holy name, we cannot say that we add any honor or greatness whatsoever to His lofty holiness. For what can be given and what can be added to the majesty of His perfection? Rather than praise, and that acclaim is reflected upon us, for we have been deemed worthy of chanting praises to His name. That is our glory before all the nations. Thus the Torah says elsewhere, to give thanks to your holy name and to glory in your praise. Some explain, be of glad heart, you who seek Hashem. This is a call directed at the nations. They should convert to the Jewish faith. Pasuk Dalet, Pasuk 4. Birshu Hashem ve'uzo bakshu fanav tamid. Seek Hashem and His strength, and seek His face, His presence, always. His strength means the Ark of the Torah, as it says about the capture of the Ark by the Plishtim, and delivered His strength into captivity. It is so called because that is the dwelling place of Hashem's presence. He is the strength of the world, and to Him belong power and dominion. Thus the Pasuk is saying, seek Hashem in the Holy Temple. Seek His face always to pray to Him, as it says in Chumash Devarim, but you will seek from there Hashem your God. What is more, you will seek Him there always, unlike a king of flesh and blood to whom it is not possible to submit petitions all the time. Do not say, after we have occupied ourselves with the Torah, we will go occupy ourselves with the sciences. Rather, seek Hashem and His strength. Seek His face always, for the measure of the Torah is longer than the earth. A pasuk that's found in Iyov. It has no end. Some explain, seek Hashem and His strength. Seek prayer and Torah study. At the same time, seek His face always. Following each prayer and every period of Torah study, strive to be God-fearing. A subtle interpretation says, seek His face always. Endeavor always to have the image of Hashem upon your faces. In everything you do, strive always that your efforts be for the sake of Hashem. Seek His face always. Said Rabbi Yossi ben Chalafta to his son Yishmael, you seek to behold the Shekhinah, the divine presence in this world, so be occupied with Torah study in the land of Israel. As it says, seek Hashem and the strength. Seek His face always. For the land of Israel is the place of Hashem's dwelling and of His strength. Seek His face always, for the Shekhinah has never moved from the western wall. Pasuk 5. Zichru nefloisav asher osa mofsav mishpatei fiv. Remember His wondrous deeds that He has done, His wonders and the judgments of His mouth. Remember His wondrous deeds that He did for you in the wilderness. The clouds of glory, the mun, the quail, and the well of Miriam. The wonders refers to the miracles that Hashem performed in Mitzrayim. The judgments of His mouth are the mitzvahs. As it says in Chumash Devarim, these words Hashem spoke to all your assembly. Similarly it says, He declares His word to Yaakov, His statutes and His judgments to Israel. He has not done so with any people, and as for His judgment, they have not known them. Pasuk Vav, Pasuk 6. Zera Avram Avdo b'nei Yaakov b'chirov, O seed of Avram, His servant, your children of Yaakov, His chosen ones. The Torah mentions Avram, who was the first to call in the name of Hashem, as it says, and called there in the name of Hashem. This also explains why Avram and Yaakov are mentioned, whereas Yitzchak is not mentioned. Yitzchak also fathered Esav, as it says, for in Yitzchak will your seed be called. Accordingly, the Torah says here, you children of Yaakov, to exclude Esav. It also says, His chosen one, because Hashem has chosen Yaakov to Himself and Israel for His treasure. Avram was the first patriarch to accept the commandments of Hashem. Yaakov alone is solely our patriarch, and no one else will have a share in us. Thus it says in Divrei Hayamim, blessed are you, Hashem, God of Israel, our Father. Here it says, seed of Avram, His servant. And in the book of Divrei Hayamim it says, seed of Israel, His servant. It is one and the same thing. For in saying seed of Avram, the Torah meant Israel. Who are the seed of Avram? They are the children of Yaakov, His chosen ones. Pasuk Zayin, Pasuk 7. Hu Hashem Elokeinu b'chol ha'aretz mishpatav. He is Hashem our God, His judgments are in all the earth. Notwithstanding that His judgments are in all the earth, and He rules the whole world, He is Hashem our God, and we are His people. He is the one who performed wonders and miracles. he is called Hashem, the glorious name. It means that he is in himself absolute necessary existence. He rules throughout the world, yet has he set apart as unique. For he is our God, and we, his people, are the portion of Hashem. All the other nations are the portion of the supernal ministers. Thus he said to Avram, to be God to you, and Yaakov said, then Hashem will be my God. His judgments are in all the earth. He supervises the whole earth to bring the people to judgment. Thus he warned the people of Nineveh, on account, as we find in Sefer Yonah, on account of their sins, he destroyed Babylon, Ammon, and Moab. Pasuk Ches, Pasuk 8. Zochar le'olam beriso dovor tziva le'elef dor. He has remembered his covenant forever, the word which he commanded to 1,000 generations. These pesukim also harbor a glad tiding to the Jewish people in Golus, in exile. Let them not fall into despair at the long duration of the exile, and let them not think that Hashem has abandoned them. Rather, remember his wondrous deeds that he has done for your sake in Mitzrayim, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. For he said that he would bring about miracles, and he brought them about. He is Hashem, our God, who has done so in Mitzrayim, and he will do so now in all the earth where you are dispersed. It is because he has remembered his covenant forever, the word which he commanded to 1,000 generations. He has sworn not to abandon you. Pasuk 9. Asher Korah says Avram, which will also le Yitzchak, the covenant which he made with Avram and his oath to Yitzchak. Even though Yitzchak is spelled with a sin instead of with a tzaddik, normally spelled with a tzaddik, but here in our pasuk is spelled with a sin, it still refers to Yitzchak. Now the Torah now explains the covenant which he has remembered in the previous pasuk. That is the covenant established at the stand of Bein HaBesorim. As it says there, in the same day Hashem made a covenant with Avram, saying, to your seed have I given this land. His oath to Yitzchak, Hashem also promised him that the land was given to his seed. The pasuk alludes to what the Torah says, I will sustain the oath which I swore to Avram your father. Another interpretation is based on the teaching of our sages of HaChachamim regarding the binding of Yitzchak. Avram said, I will not move from here unless you swear to me that you will never again test me. For the binding of Yitzchak was the tenth trial of Avram. A further interpretation is based on the following teaching of the Medrash. On the day that Avram bound Yitzchak, he asked that the gates of redemption and the gates of forgiveness for all their sins be opened for the descendants of Yitzchak. Hashem consented, and he also promised him that he would favor Israel in judgment. Accordingly, the Torah says here, the covenant which he made with Avram, not to test him again, and his oath to his descendants were both on account of Yitzchak. Yitzchak is linked here to an oath, not to a covenant, because nowhere is anything but an oath mentioned in connection with Yitzchak. It says here, Le Yitzchak, rather than Le Yitzchak. This is explained as follows. After the Jews had been in Mitzrayim 210 years, the numerical value of the word redu, go down, is 210. Yitzchak said, for the sake of my children, I will diminish myself. So he diminished himself by the same number. The numerical equivalent of the letter sin is 300. And the numerical equivalent of the letter tzaddik is 90, a difference of 210. The singer says, he has remembered his covenant with Israel, which he promised to keep to 1,000 generations. Similarly, it says, the faithful God who keeps his covenant and loving kindness with those who love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations, a pasuk that's found in Chumash Devarim. Some say it means that the earth will last for 1,000 generations. But he has remembered his covenant forever in that he gave the Holy Land to Avram's descendants after 4 generations. Others say the word which he commanded to 1,000 generations was that he would grant him, Avram, the gift of having children. Similarly, he said to him, look now towards heaven and count the stars if you're able to number them. so will your seed be. Thus the children of Israel exist forever in accordance with the prophecy. For as the new heavens and the new earth which I will make, so will your seed and your name remain. A pasuk that's found in Sefer Yeshayahu. Even if Israel will not be deserving of it, he will remember the covenant forever. As it says, not for your righteousness or for the uprightness of your heart do you go to possess their land. A pasuk that's found in Chumash Devarim. Pasuk Yud, V'yamideho le'Yakov l'chok l'Yisrael b'ris olam. Then he established it to Yaakov for a statute, to Israel for an everlasting covenant. That covenant was established to Yaakov in the beginning when he was called Yaakov, and also afterwards when he was called Israel. It was an everlasting covenant. Thus, when he departed from his father's house, he was told, the land upon which you lie, to which to you will I give it, and to your seed, and your seed will be as the dust of the earth. Then after he was called Israel, he was also told, Israel will be your name. The land which I gave to Avraham and Yitzchak, to you will I give it, and to your seed after you will I give the land. Even as God disqualified all other seed when he established the covenant with Avraham, so he disqualified the seed of Yitzchak that was Esav. He made an oath to Yaakov for a statute, that they should endure, and to Israel for an everlasting covenant. Thus it says in the blessing that Yitzchak bestowed upon Yaakov, Hashem the Almighty bless you and give you the blessing of Avram to you and to your seed with you, that you may inherit the land in which you are a sojourner, and which Hashem gave to Avram. To 1,000 generations, although they will be exiled, land cannot be stolen, and they will yet return to her. Pasuk Yud Aleph, Pasuk 11. Leimor lecho etein es eretz Kenoan chevo nachalatcham, saying, to you will I give the land of Canaan, the lot of your inheritance. Now the singer describes the covenant. It said, to you will I give the land of Canaan, the lot of your inheritance. The singular address, lecho etein, conveys that Hashem spoke to each one individually. The lot of your inheritance, this land was set aside for them on account of its special quality of holiness. Hashem said to each of the others, the patriarchs, to you will I give the land of Canaan, the lot of your inheritance for all the Jewish people. The lot of your inheritance. Esav and Yaakov divided their father's possessions. Esav took the movable property and Yaakov took the land. The pasuk is also explained in accordance with the following quite ordinary situation. A man travels far to hire himself out to an employer, and the employer pays him wages. Should the employer, upon returning home, lose the money he received, he cannot come with a claim against the employer. If, however, the employer is especially beloved, the employer may promise him at the very outset that should the employer lose his wages, the employer will always reimburse him for the loss. By analogy, when Hashem promised Avram the land of Canaan, he said, Hashem, by what will I know that I shall inherit it? That is to say, perhaps when they commit transgression, the earth will spit them out. Accordingly, Hashem repeated the promise to Yaakov and said to him, for I will not leave you until I have done that of which I have spoken to you. That is to say, if they will lose the land, I will guarantee that they will return and take possession of her once more. That is what the singer says here. Then he established it to Yaakov for a statute, to Israel for an everlasting covenant, saying, to you will I give the land of Canaan, the lot of your inheritance. I will give it and then give it again. Even if they lose it, I will once again give it to them. Lot of your inheritance. Some say it means that Yaakov and Esav divided the possessions of Yitzchak. Esav took possession of the land of Edom, and Yaakov took possession of the land of Eretz Yisrael. Pasuk Yud Beis, Beyosam Besei Mispor Kimat VeGorimbo, when they were but a few in number, very few, and sojourners there. This covenant was established with the others, when they were but a few in number. Sume Yaakov said, and I am but few in number. They were very few and sojourners there, which conveys that this happened after they had only been living there for a short time. The reason is that they found it necessary to go about from people to people, from one kingdom to another nation. Thus, Kim'at is also read as a modifier of the Gorim Bo. They had sojourned there a short time. The fathers and their offspring were but very few in number, and sojourned there a little while before departing. Another interpretation says, although they were only sojourners there, as Avram said, I am a stranger and a sojourner with you. Hashem said that he would give them this beloved land. The Torah explains why Shem did not give them the land while they still actually dwelt there. The reason was not that they were but a few in number and could not battle their enemies. Though few, they could go about from people to people safely, thus they could also subdue those very same peoples. Rather, it was that Hashem wanted to give them the Torah first, on account of the Torah they would be called his special progeny. All should know that the hand of Hashem has done this. Pasuk Yud Gimel, Pasuk 13. Vayishalchu migoy al goy mimamloch al am acher. Then they went about from people to people, from one kingdom to another nation. The Torah alludes to the wanderings endured by our forefathers. Then they went about from people to people, from one kingdom to another nation. Thus we find our father Avram had to go down to Mitzrayim due to a famine. Then he dwelt in Gur. One reason was that after the destruction of the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, there were no passing travelers for him to welcome to his tent. Another reason was that he was ashamed of his nephew Lot. Thus it says, and Avram journeyed from there and sojourned in Gur. Yitzchak too traveled to Avimelech in Gur because of the tribulations of famine. Yaakov traveled to Haran out of fear of his brother. Then they went about from people to people within the same kingdom, and they also went about from one kingdom to another nation. Although the covenant was to grant superiority and dominion to their children, they themselves were important and honored among the different peoples, for the peoples saw that the others were divinely guided. Pasuk Yudalit, Pasuk 14. Lo hiniach Adam le'oshkom ve'yochach aleihem melochem. He allowed no man to wrong them, and he rebuked kings for their sakes. Although they were but few in number, and often on the move from people to people, from one kingdom to another nation, he allowed no man to wrong them, and he rebuked kings for their sakes. He protected them not only for the malice of ordinary people, but admonished and afflicted kings who wanted to harm them. Thus it says about Paro, and Hashem afflicted Paro and his house with great plagues because of Sarai, the wife of Avram. And it says about Avimelech, for Hashem had closed fast all the wombs of the house of Avimelech because of Sarai, the wife of Avram. Hashem said to Avimelech, you are a dead man because of the woman whom you have taken. For this reason, Avimelech was afraid to touch Yitzchak's wife. He remembered what had happened to his father on account of Sarai. He decreed, he that touches this man or his wife will surely be put to death. In the case of Yaakov, similarly, when Lavan the Aramite wanted to destroy him, the Arami, Hashem came to him in a dream at night and said, take heed that you do not speak to Yaakov either good or bad. Accordingly, the Torah now goes on to say, Pasuk 15, Al tigu b'mshichoy b'linvi'ai al toreyu. Touch not my anointed ones, and do my prophets no harm. Hashem commanded everyone, touch not my anointed ones, and do my prophets no harm. They are most important to me because they are also prophets. As Hashem said to Avimelech, now therefore restore the man's wife, for he is a prophet. According to the Medrash, and do my prophets no harm refers to the Imaos, the matriarch. Our sages have expounded that touch not my anointed refers to the youngsters in their grade studying Torah. Do my prophets no harm refers to Torah scholars. When Torah study by youngsters is imperiled, the Torah scholars too are harmed. If there are no kids, there will be no rams. In another sense, if Torah scholars are scorned, the youngsters are also harmed, for they see the honor of the Torah demeaned, and they will interrupt their study, heaven forfend. The present Sukkim also harbor a consolation for the Jewish people in Golis, as already indicated in part earlier. He established it to Yaakov for a statue, to Israel for an everlasting covenant. In that statue and covenant, Hashem says, to you will I give the land of Canaan, the lot of your inheritance, forever and all eternity. Although they were but few in number, very few as sojourners there. What is more, they went about from people to people. That is, they went down to Mitzrayim, he redeemed them. You too, therefore, must not lose hope that he will be merciful. Pasuk Tes Zion, Pasuk 16. Vayikro rov al oretz kol matei lechem shover. He called for a famine upon the land. He broke every staff of bread. Here the singer begins to give an account of all the good things that Hashem has done for us, so it's proper that we thank Him. He thus began the present psalm by saying, give thanks to Hashem, call upon His name, make known His works among the nations. In the time of Yaakov, He called for a famine upon the land. He broke every staff of bread. Because of this famine, Yaakov was forced to go down to Mitzrayim. The Torah says literally, He called a famine, as if it had been summoned from elsewhere. The Targum translates it as a proclamation. He called for a famine upon the land. The bad things that befall the earth are decrees from Hashem, as Elisha said, for Hashem has called for a famine, and it will also come upon the land for 7 years. The pasuk that is found in Malachim Beis. Upon the earth, despite the fact that Mitzrayim is a land rich in grain, thanks to the Nile that never dries up, Hashem called for a famine there. Pasuk 17. Sholach lefnehem ish le'eved nimkar Yosef. He sent a man before them. Yosef was sold for a servant. The singer depicts Hashem's supervision over Yaakov and his household. Before the famine struck, he prepared the healing salve ahead of the wound. Before they went down to Mitzrayim, he sent a man before them, someone of stature and a prince. It refers to Yosef, who was sold for a servant. Another interpretation says he was sold to a servant, namely to Potiphar, who was a servant of Paro. This was a deep humiliation for Yosef. Some explain that he sent a man before them refers to the angel Gabriel. He said to Yosef, they are departed from here. That is, they moved away from brotherliness. Subsequently, he pleaded with them not to kill him, and it helped, but they sold him instead of killing him. According to the Medrash, Hashem said to Avram, when he went down to Mitzrayim, go prepare the way for them. That is the meaning of, he sent a man, namely Avram, before them. For Yosef was to be sold for a servant in the future. Pasuk Yudches, Pasuk 18. Inu Akevel Raglov Barzel Bo'o Nafsho. They afflicted his foot with feathers. F-E-T-T-E-R-S. His soul was laid in iron. Now the Torah mentions the divine supervision of Yosef in Mitzrayim. After Potiphar's wife accused him falsely, they afflicted his foot with feathers. His soul was laid in iron. Potiphar did not take him out in anger to be executed, but placed him in prison. At first they placed feathers on both his feet, but when he found favor in the jailer's eyes, he placed feathers on one foot only. This is conveyed by the difference between the scripted and the enunciated forms of raglov. Some explain that the feathers were made of iron. Hence it says his soul was laid in iron. It brought him deep anguish. Others explain that his soul was laid in iron refers to an iron collar that was placed around his neck. Another interpretation is that first they afflicted his feet with feathers, which was the usual practice. In order to keep slaves from escaping, their feet were placed in irons. That is also why Mitzrayim is referred to as a house of bondage. In prison, his soul was laid in iron. Pasuk Yutes, Ad Eis Bo Devoro Imras Hashem Tzurafosu. Until the time that his word came to pass, the word of the Lord refined him. Yosef's suffering continued until the time that his word came to pass to save him. For by then the word of Hashem refined him. As one refines silver and all the dross is removed, so they removed from Yosef the feathers, dressed him in new robes, and drew him out of the pit. the word of Hashem, we find him, conveys that it was not his intention to make Yosef suffer, but only to test him. Then the good word came to pass that he be supremely honored. Another reading says, until the time that his word came to pass, the time had come for Yosef to speak to Paro. Instead, he spoke to the chief butler, begging for his help. But think of me when it will be well with you. Nevertheless, the chief butler did not remember Yosef, but forgot him. Although later he did mention him to Paro, Yosef was punished for having relied on the chief butler. His punishment was that the word of Hashem refined him. He was forced to remain imprisoned an additional 2 years. Another interpretation says, till the time that his word came to pass, the word that his father kept regarding Yosef's dreams. The word of Hashem refined, tested him. Yosef withstood every trial, and he remained righteous despite all his troubles. A subtle interpretation says, Hashem arranged matters so that they afflicted his feet with fetters. His soul was laid in iron. This was intended to refine and purify him before the time that his word came to pass, that Yosef should become viceroy. The word of Hashem refined him to make him compassionate and keep his heart from becoming arrogant. He should not be a cruel ruler. Similarly, our sages have expounded about Yosef. Because he came out of prison to rule, even in kingship, he was poverty born, as the Pasuk says in Kehelis. He should not become arrogant. Pasuk Chof, Pasuk 20. Shalach melech v'yatirehu moshel amim v'yifat chehu. The king sent and released him, a ruler of peoples, and set him free. This pasuk refers to Paro, who sent and released him. It means that he either sent for Yosef, or that he sent a messenger to release Yosef from imprisonment. As the pasuk says, then Paro sent and called Yosef, and they brought him hastily out of the dungeon. Paro set him free to become a ruler over many peoples. The singer describes the ways of Hashem, that when we see people suffering, it's all for the good. Yosef, his brothers, and his father all suffered, but it was for a lofty purpose. They were exalted by their suffering. Pasuk Chof Aleph, Pasuk 21. Samo Odon Leveso Moshe B'chol Kinyano. He made him lord of his house and ruler over all his possessions. After his release from the prison dungeon, Paro made him lord of his house and ruler of his possessions. He was a lord responsible for the affairs of Paro's own house, and he was the ruler who administered the entire country. The singer describes Paro in two roles, as king and ruler. He was a king who could do whatever he wished. He was also a ruler over nations, and hence was not afraid of elevating Yosef. He was not afraid that Yosef would conspire against him. Paro released him from his fetters, and then he set him free entirely. All his possessions refers to the fact that Paro placed in his hands the commerce and grain. Eventually, this led to Yaakov and his family descending to Mitzrayim. We will continue Mitzrayim in our next year. We are learning Sefer Tehillim. This is Shir number 57. May the learning of Torah be a merit for myself, yourself, for listening to this tape or CD, or for listening to this as well as any of our other hundreds of Torah Shiurim, Torah lectures online at EnglishTorahTapes.com. May the learning of Torah be also a merit for the memory of Aaron Fuchs and Shimon and Hinda Manila of blessed memory. The entire Tehillim project of 75 CDs has been sponsored by the Chevra Kadisha Mortuary in Los Angeles. We are holding in chapter 104, Pasuk 25. Zehayom Godol Urchav Yadayim Shom Remes Ein Mispor Chayos Ketanos Im Gedolos. This sea so great and of wide measure, there are creeping things without number, both small and great living creatures. Having noted all the multiplicity of Hashem's works on earth, the singer mentions the multitudes of God's works in the sea. This sea is so great, and the wide measure is far larger than the earth in length and breadth. The literal meaning of Rechav Yadayim is wide hands, a measure of area. It may refer to the span between a man's right hand and his left hand. In the sea, there are creeping things without number, more so than on land, both small and great living creatures. In the sea, the large and the small creatures move together. The small creatures do not flee from the large ones as they do on land, and the reason is that there are so many of them. The singer here speaks of the creatures created on the fifth day, namely the fish. They dwell in the sea that is so great and of wide measure. They are without number because they reproduce more abundantly than land creatures. Another reason is that they reproduce at all times of the year. The Torah stresses the immense numbers of fish, notwithstanding that the large fish swallow the smaller ones. Their numbers do not diminish because of their rapid reproduction. There are creeping things without number. Pasuk Chof Vav, Pasuk 26. Sham onios yahalechun levyosan ze yotzarto lesachek bo. There go the ships. There is a Leviathan whom you have formed to play in with. The singer continues by depicting two wonders of the sea. One is manufactured, that is, man-made ships. They traverse the seas by means of the blowing wind. There's also the Leviathan, the giant fish whom you have formed to play in it. Leviathan caverns happily in the sea, where it finds everything it needs. Having said, how many are your works, O Hashem, on land? The singer depicts the previous pasuk that we learned, the sea, as the greater wonder. Its expanse is greater than the expanse of dry land, enveloping the earth. It has creeping things without number, both small and great living creatures. And there is the Leviathan. The immense size and splendor of the Leviathan is such that it is likened to a creature worthy of being a plaything of kings to play with it. It is customary for kings to have available various kinds of exotic animals as playthings and walking companions. In the sea there is no place for land animals, yet you have granted man the sagacity to traverse the sea in ships and to net fish for food. Thus Hashem blessed Adam and have dominion over the fish of the sea, as found in Chumash Bereishis. Man subdues the sea in ships, as it says, you have given him dominion, whatever passes through the paths of the seas. To play in it, the splendor and the grandeur of the Leviathan is described in the book of Iyov. It plays in the sea where all things are its food. It is not itself any other creature's food. Similarly, Pasuk says in Habakkuk, and they will scoff at kings, and princesses will be a scorn to them. The Torah mentions here all the creatures created on the sixth day. Man was already mentioned earlier. In the Masorah Concordance, it is indicated that one who journeys by sea or traverses mountains must keep busy studying Torah. Thus the Masorah lists three instances of Yalechon, go or walk. There is the present Pasuk, there go the ships, they walk, O Hashem, in the light of your countenance. And there in the Pasuk, happy are they who are upright in the way, who walk in the law of Hashem. It's a Pasuk that's found later on in Sefer Tehillim. Now we're at Pasuk 27. We're holding again at chapter 104, Pasuk 27. Kulo melecha yisar beirun loseis ochlom beito. They all look to you to give them their food in its time. Now the singer refers back to the creatures mentioned when speaking about man, both land animals and sea creatures. They all look to you to give them their food in its time. This means that every kind of food becomes available at its proper time, or else it means that different kinds of creatures eat and digest their food at characteristic times. Thus birds must eat all the time, for their power of digestion is very strong. A dog, on the other hand, retains his food in the stomach quite a long time. All creatures, those on land and those in the sea, look to you to give them their food in its time. Their eyes are raised to heaven, as it says later on in Tehillim, who gives food to all flesh, for his loving kindness endures forever. Although devoid of the kind of understanding to know their benefactor, instinctively they partake of their food according to need. We know that they all look to you, for you are the one who prepares and provides. This pasuk may be clarified further. If we recall the story of what happened when Rabbi Gamliel once stood pouring water, said Rabbi Yehuda, we find that a great man, our forefather of Rome, also stood pouring water. Rav Tzadik retorted, how long yet will you go on ignoring the glory of Hashem? The Holy One makes the winds blow, elevates the clouds, brings down the rain, he makes the earth grow produce, and he prepares a table for each and every one. In other words, Hashem forgoes his own honor, and we are instructed to emulate him. That is what the singer says here. They all look to you to give them their food in its time. You give to them, and they gather it. You open your hand, they are sated with good. As we're going to learn in the next pasuk. As a result of this, may the glory of Hashem endure forever. Let the Hashem rejoice in his works. The Creator set aside his glory in order for his works not to be abolished. Pasuk Chav Ches, Pasuk 28. Titein lahem yilkotun tiftach yadcho yisruun tov. You give to them, they gather it, you open your hand, they are sated with good. When there's a drought, you give to them a bit of food in such a way that they must gather it little by little. But then, when you open your hand and the rains come down in abundance, they are sated with good. This expression, they are sated with good, is usually associated with abundant rain, as it says, and will not see when good comes, but will inhabit the parched places, a pasuk that's found in Sefer Yirmiyahu. The resultant good means an abundance of wheat and foliage. The fish of the sea also grow fat as a result of the rain. And the river plants grow tall when there's much rain, for the rivers overflow and drench the foliage. Although they all look to you to give them their food, they are not all equal. Some have to expend much effort to sustain themselves. Although you give to them, they have to gather it little by little. Others earn their livelihood without pain and effort, for you open your hand, they are sated with good. A subtle interpretation says, it is indicated that the creatures want to receive their food through their own efforts, to gather it by hand or by foot, rather than to receive it from man. As the dove said to Noah, may my food be bitter as the olive, but from the hand of Hashem, rather than sweet as honey from the hand of man. That is what the singer says here. You give to them, they gather it. They prefer to gather bit by bit, and they ask that you open your hand, so that they are sated with good. Anything coming from the hand of God is good. It is satisfying sustenance. Pasuk Chav Tes, Pasuk 29. Tastir panecho yubohelun, tosef ruchom yigvoun, ve'elaforum yishuvun. You hide your face, they are troubled. You withdraw their breath, they perish and return to their dust. The singer depicts the pattern of renewal for living creatures on earth. Some spring forth and others decay like wilting grass of the field. You withdraw their breath, they perish and return to their dust. Not a single one of them eludes death. This explains why death afflicts all creatures in the world. Since others come after them, this is an indication that creation has a purpose. If you hide your face and do not provide their sustenance, they are troubled, for they have no way to be helped. If you withdraw their breath, they perish, as it says similarly, if he gather to himself his spirit and his breath, all flesh will perish together. A pasuk that's found in Iyov. The Yalkut says, you hide your face, they are troubled. These are the wicked. But regarding the righteous, it says, you send forth your spirit, they are created. That is to say, the tzaddik is not troubled or dismayed when affliction strikes him, for he knows that Hashem can bring forth deliverance out of the evil itself. It is otherwise for the wicked. Pasuk 30. Tishalach luchacho yiboreyun uzchadesh pnei adama. You send forth your spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the earth. Having said that they perish when Hashem hides his face from them, the Torah says here, you send forth your spirit, they are created. New creatures are born, and through these new creatures you renew the face of the earth, for they have never walked on this earth before. Another reading says, the Torah says, when you hide your face and do not provide for their needs, when you withdraw their spirit, that is, you do not provide them with a spirit of life, they perish and return to the earth, but they do not perish for eternity, for you send forth your spirit, they are created anew, and you renew the face of the earth for them. The Torah alludes here to the resurrection of the dead, which will take place as a supernatural and wondrous phenomenon, rather than as a natural occurrence. Thus it says, you sent forth your spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the earth. This refers solely to man, who is the principal living being among the creatures below. Hashem will then recreate man in a different way to render him immortal. Therefore Hashem will rejoice in his works. Pasuk 31, Hi Chavoyed Hashem L'Olam Yismach Hashem B'Masa. May the glory of Hashem endure forever. Let Hashem rejoice.